The all-new, commercial-free Crusade Channel's success has made it difficult to describe the surviving talk radio mafia. So we asked you, our local audience, for some ideas.
There's a word for what you are, and that word is, now let's see,
dork?
No, wait, that's not right. Not a dork,
A goofball?
Closer, but no.
A ding-a-ling.
Wingnut.
A knucklehead McSpazitron.
Okay, that's enough.
Wow, you guys are so good. You don't even have to act. Oh, crusadery.
I want to party with you, cowboy.
The world's coolest talk radio listeners hang out at the world's only 24/7 commercial-free talk radio channel. Crusade.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Minions are alive and awake. I didn't see any complaints in the Crusader room yet. No, Miniature, why aren't you on live at 6 a.m.? So we are a bit delayed today, but we are here and live and asking the question of the day.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Well, I'll tell you. This is the Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel. Live on Monday. 23 July 2018, a date which shall live in spiritual infamy. You can listen to the program on our apps, which are downloadable free of charge in the Google Play or iTunes Store. Search for Veritas Talk Radio Network. On our site at crusadechannel.com. On my website at mikechurch.com. And we are live on the YouBoob. I look a little out of alignment on the television today. I mean, I'm out of alignment a priori. There you go. Well, I never know because I never watch the finished product of what I'm supposed to look like here when I'm in my cage, you know, the glass surrounded cage here. Of which I am a prisoner for 4 or 5 hours every morning. I'm not allowed to escape. Don't feed me after midnight. Keep your hands away from my face because I might eat them. So I never look at the U-boob, so I don't know. I can tell you this. I have returned from my sojourn to, I'll tell you where I was, Pine Bluff, Wisconsin. I cannot divulge under pain of excommunication and other censure the details of the clandestine rapprochement of which I was a part this weekend. But I can tell you some other things, good things. I was the guest of Father Richard Heilemann at St. Mary's in Pine Bluff, Wisconsin. And Father Heilemann is one of these rare few good priests that is, actually has an active apostolate that he is the chaplain of and is a primary instigator. I don't want to get Father Richard in trouble because if I talk about him, I will. You may not be in trouble now, Father, but if I start talking about you, believe me, they'll find you. But it's one of the most beautiful pastoral settings for a Catholic church that I believe I've ever seen, and that's St. Mary's in Pine Bluff. I actually ran into a friend, someone who, Junk Bond is out there listening today, Mr. Bond, one of the men that attended the Academy of Philosophy and Letters conference that you and I went to and that I spoke at and shocked all the egghead PhDs there on June the 1st, actually has family from the area and was at the Mass yesterday morning, the 7:30 a.m. High Mass that I attended. But, Father Heilemann's rectory is just it's a jewel of the church. I can't say enough about it, but I have some photographs that we took of his rosary garden, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that and about how we often take for granted. Now, this is the second time this year now that I've seen a rosary garden with a grotto. And the first, you'll remember, was right down the street from the Twin Smoke Shop on 10th Avenue or 10th Street in Fishtown in Philadelphia. Remember it had the statue of St. Pio. The garden was dedicated to St. Pio. And if you were to look at it from above, it was at the Immaculate Conception Church on 10th Street in Philadelphia. If you were to look at it from above, you would see that the garden that you were standing in, the rock garden, was actually in the shape of a rosary with five decans, with decan beads on the end, a tri-bead or a rock creation that made a tri-bead, the three beads, then the first bead, then the three beads that you do the Hail Mary on, the last bead, and then the crucifix, of course. And Father Heilemann has at St. Mary's this just magnificent rosary garden that is dedicated to the it's a place where people in the parish who are cooperating with God to bring new life into the world, when their children are miscarried, what beautiful remains there are buried inside this rosary garden. It's just, again, can't say enough about it. And Father has if you find him on Facebook, he has a apostolate there called the Roman Catholic Man. And I want to show to you boob audiences. I showed this to young Jacob this morning. Now, you're 17, right? Okay, so you're not even 18 yet. I showed it to Maggie O'Connell. They're all going like, where can we get these things? I'm like, I think Father has like 5,000 of these things. It's a spiritual ammo box. I feel like I'm doing an infomercial again for the Catholic version of the QVC channel. This is absolutely amazing. In the spiritual ammo box, which looks like a little a magazine case, if you will, from World War II days, there are these and. I'm going to work with Father Richard to try and get these for the Founders Trading Post. Talk about a great gift for a teenage boy or even a young man of any age, this is it. So inside the spiritual ammo case, which again we will have, there are four boxes. One is a blessed salt flask. You can get a flask of blessed salt, and there's a prayer card in there that tells you how to use it. The other one, the second one, is a holy water flask, and there's a prayer card or an instruction card in there on how to use it and why it's holy water and how it becomes holy water. Then you have the four-way scapular box, and these are all little ammo boxes inside the big ammo box. And inside is a metal four-way cross that serves as a double for someone that's already enrolled in the brown scapular. And then there's a brown scapular in there, and then the prayer enrollment card. So you got that. And then you had the pièce de résistance, the combat rosary and gun medal. And then here is the coolest part of the combat rosary. And I'll just take it out and I'll show it to you. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can see this. Every one of you that's listening right now is going to want one of these cards when I read it to you. You ready? Can y'all see that on the Ubu? Is that close enough, Jacob? Can they see it? You want to zoom in? Look at this. There you go. Look at that shot. It's a card, like a business card. Roman Catholic Church at the top. Concealed carry license. Combat Rosary Prayer Warrior. Official Rosary of the Pontifical Swiss Guard, which is the gunmetal one. You've got the quote from St. Pio, a quote from Blessed Pope Pius IX. The insignia is the keys of St. Peter, Romana, Ecclesia, Cattolica, and the Holy It's just funny that it is a concealed carry license, like you're carrying a weapon. Now, Padre, St. Pio used to say that his rosary was his weapon. Ms. O'Connell, can you get a screenshot of that? Of this? You want to go in the other room? You know the keyboard command to get a screenshot. Got it? Okay. Anyways, thanks to Father Richard for this and for the work that went into it. The poll says he already has one. Mr. Char, I have one in my... What do you have? Spiritual warrior, prayer card, and wallet. Already have. You very late to party. You and Father Richard, very late to party. Polish people already enrolled. Anyways, the combat, the spiritual ammo combat kit is... it's cool. It's very cool. As a, you know, if you walk up to somebody, somebody said this at our little retreat meeting. If you were to make a movie about a saint and you were to advertise it to teenagers who are all drunk with Captain America and Avengers and Spider-Man and what have you, if you were to advertise that and say, oh yeah, it's a great movie. It's about Saint such and such. Saint Whistlefritz. You probably couldn't get them to sit down and watch it, even if it was a good movie. But if you gave it a nifty title, like Permission to Die, for example, our movie about the Carmelite the nuns of Compiègne, if you gave it a title like that and didn't tell them what it was about, just so it was an exciting movie about guillotines and stuff, then once they get 5 minutes in, they're going to get hooked on the story and they'll watch it. So this has a factor of cool to it. Anyways, I told Father I was going to talk about it, and I was very excited to. And the two people that have now seen it, the spiritual ammo kit, have given it the good housekeeping seal of approval, if you will, or the good dude's seal of approval. So there is that. I must tell you. Oh, the poll is telling me that he got it from Father High. Okay, all right. You beat me to the punch, Pole. Damn Polacks. unfortunately, the news that I had to cover here today on this show is that the progression from scandal to outrage to plot to take over the world that is the story of the awful, awful story of Cardinal Uncle Teddy Theodore McCarrick is even worse than we thought it was. You might notice that in today's pile of prep, Maggie O'Connell, can you grab the meme that we had, the St. Joseph meme that I used as the graphic image for today's pile of prep? You might notice that I've taken the lead in this, and did you turn the AC down? I'm about ready to turn it into a Donkey Kong little flaming ball of fire, please. The story is even worse than we thought. Or worse than I thought. Now, some of you have known about this for a long time. I am not in that number.
I didn't.
Maybe I didn't want to know. And I suspect that many people are in the camp that, well, I didn't want to know, Mike. Well, we have to know, and we have to confront this head on. Because to do anything else would be to do what the Bishop cover-up and the Cardinal cover-up and maybe even the Papal cover-up has done over the last three decades. So the laity cannot ignore this, and you can't act as though this didn't happen, because it did. That's not dealing with reality. There it is. If you're wondering in the chat room, which is live at MikeChurch.com, you'd never know it if you were in there, but you could go in there and live it up. Just go to MikeChurch.com, click on Mike Church Show live chat, and you'll be in the chat room at BAMO. the photograph on the left is Uncle Teddy, Cardinal McCarrick. I don't know who the boy is, but it'll make the point. You don't need me to describe it. And of course, the image on the right is St. Joseph holding the boy child Jesus there. And the caption is McCarrick with the boy took safe environment training. You know what? You could even change that. You could say invented safe. And it's even worse. He didn't just take it. He wrote it. Wrote safe environment training. And then under St. Joseph, did not take St. Safe environment training. Here's some headline. Washington Post. Again, I'm not sweeping this stuff under the rug because that's what they've done. It needs to be known that there has been a diabolical invasion force that is now firmly rooted inside the clergy, that is, vast parts of the clergy, not all of it, too much. One would be too much. Of the Catholic clergy, and they need to go. With the laity, what we ought to be saying about this, you must go. You cannot hold the position with the collar any longer. You're going to, the longer you hold it, the greater the damage to everyone else that wears the collar. Because, you know, modern boobus Americanus does not listen to radio shows like this. They don't have any philosophical formation. So one guilty cardinal equals all guilty cardinals. Get that? They don't know. So our job as members of the church militant just got more difficult. And it's going to get more difficult. You think it's bad now, brother? Sister? Let me just say to you that I now know things that I wish I did not know. And I'm not going to talk about them because they're not to be published. And as soon as they are, I'll be the first one because I know the backstory. I'll jump right on it. But until they are, you have no idea. Folks, average laitus Americanus out there has no idea of how deep-rooted Beelzebub, Baphomet, and the boys have become inside the clergy. Washington Post, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick is the target of new allegations of sexual misconduct. Oh, great. Just the headline I wanted. This is from Sunday editions. This is yesterday's news, okay? A month after the Vatican suspended Cardinal Theodore McCarrick from ministry, saying the prominent former D.C. Archbishop had been credibly accused of sexually abusing a teenager decades ago, four additional complaints about sexual misconduct by the Cardinal have surfaced. Again, who knew about this? When did they know it? I'll get into that in a minute. Once a globe-trotting representative of the Catholic Church worldwide and one of the architects of the Church's policy on sexual abuse, McCarrick's precipitous fall over the past month has shocked Catholics, especially in Washington, where he was a popular archbishop from 2001 to 2006. Now, can I just say here at this juncture that the reason, one of the reasons why men like McCarrick can get away from this is because the solemnity and the reverence that was brought to the liturgy in the old mass, ikong! You can have men doing the Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville Mass, and because everyone else is doing the Jimmy Buffett Margaritaville Mass and their Crocs and their cargo short pants, no one notices that the guy's not holy. It never occurred. No, he's a friend. He's one of us. I don't want him to be one of us. He's not supposed to be one of us. He has consecrated hands, you idiots. Sorry, I'm getting worked up over this. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers on a Monday. Come join us in our chat room at MikeChurch.com. Trust me, there's a lot to talk about. Now back to the Washington Post story. McCarrick's future now rests with Pope Francis, who as pontiff oversees the Cardinals. Many church watchers think this is a make-or-break moment for Francis. I don't think that there is such a thing, personally. I think that actually the Holy Father could come out and actually state an outright heresy, and apologists in certain media would go along with it. Wow, Mitterlady, please. You just need to shut up and do what the Holy Father said. He said he was for the Patriots. You have to be a Patriots fan. He said go out and hug a tree and give it a kiss. You have to. I honestly don't think, unfortunately, that there's anything that he could do that would draw the ire of the faithful. Or maybe it's even the suspicion that, you know, something's not somebody right about that. I don't know, Grizz. That kind of smells. Many church watchers think this is a make or break moment for Francis because of McCarrick's stature and the fact that Catholic clerical sex abuse cases are exploding to Chile and Honduras. You ain't seen nothing yet, brother, sister. Again, I wish I didn't know what I know. Those who knew about this and did nothing about it, that list is long. Long and embarrassing. But the embarrassment has to come. Sorry to say that there is some dark days, very dark days ahead. But again, when we acknowledge that the human element of the church is of a fallen nature and that her teaching, which is separate and apart, cannot ever be fallen and cannot ever be compromised, well, then you don't run around with the pig pen cloud over your head because you know what you must do, which is do the opposite of what these clowns have been doing. Anyways, In the most recent allegation, a Virginia man accused McCarrick of abusing him for nearly 20 years, beginning when he was about 11 years old. The man filed a police report on July the 17th with the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office, a copy of which the Washington Compost has obtained. Three other allegations have also surfaced against McCarrick from men who said he sexually harassed or abused them early in their religious careers decades ago, when they were young adults. That's the other part of this, that we don't acknowledge that. We don't talk about it. You better start talking about it. The other part of this is that these creeps, these demonically infused and inspired and maybe even totally possessed creeps, invaded almost every seminary, formative seminary for the priesthood on earth. Not only did they invade it, they help and hold positions of power. There's a reason why they're called the Lavender Mafia. And we're all about to learn more about this than any of us want to. But again, we can't do what they did. Only sunlight can disinfect this tragedy, this unfolding tragedy. Because, you know, at the end of the day, what are you trying to do? Stop it from happening again. You can't do that if you don't purge those that are responsible. Again, remember, how many of you remember 1987 Iran-Contra hearings? It made an obscure Marine Lieutenant Colonel, Colonel Oliver North, a conservative hero, right? You remember the famous line that came out of it? What did you know, and when did you know it? I don't want to get into the details of Iran-Contra, but that's where the slogan, what did he know, and when did he know, that's where it comes from. So the same now applies. It should be defrocked former Cardinal McCarrick and all those who propped him up and who knew. And he's not the only one. What did they know, and when did they know it? Listen, this is from the Washington Post now. Now, the secular media has got a hold of this. No putting this genie back in the bottle. Three other allegations have also surfaced against McCarrick from men who said he sexually harassed or abused them early in their religious careers. That's the other part of this deceit. These young priests were basically told, you got to go along with the sodomy and the sodomite agenda, and you might even have to submit to it. If you don't, your priestly formation and your future in this order or that order or the priesthood is going to be compromised. They actually threatened them. Now, why some of them, what remains a mystery to me, and why I say that there has to be diabolical influence here, why some of them... And there were, to be fair, there were some that did rat these creeps out. And then that was the end of it. They were basically kicked out, forced out of their seminaries. We don't want priests like you around here. Now, again, this is not ubiquitous. It didn't happen everywhere. But if it happened once, that's enough. And trust me when I tell you that it happened more than once. And I'll also say to you, I'm a newbie on this. Some of the people that I was talking to about this were just shocking me with the level of detail and deceit and the quantity of it. Two were seminarians and one was a young priest at the time. These are the targets of this stuff. The highest ranking U.S. Catholic leader to be removed for a child sexual abuse allegation. McCarrick declined through his canon lawyer, Michael Riddy, to comment last week. Susan Gibbs, his former archdiocese spokeswoman, said that she had spoken with him and that he said he was committed to following the Vatican process. What process? What is this process from the Vatican that you speak of? Oh, reassignments. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Hey, Uncle Ted. You can't diddle any more kids in that diocese, but you can in this one. We'll change your name to Theodore again. No one will know you as Uncle Teddy. Call you Uncle Theo now. Last month when the New York Archdiocese said McCarrick had been credibly accused of groping a 16-year-old altar boy in the early 1970s and suspended him from the priesthood, McCarrick released a statement saying that he had no recollection of the incident and asserted his innocence. Then came more allegations. There's a scene in the movie Caddyshack where those of you that have seen it 100 times like I have, you'll know this one. It's when, I can't remember the priest's name in the movie, but he goes out to play this round in the late afternoon, and Bill Murray is his caddy. He tells Bill Murray, hey, boy, I want to try to get in a quick nine, would you? And Bill Murray's looking around because he's not a caddy. He's a wannabe greenskeeper. And so Bill Murray winds up toting the Padres' bag, and then it starts to rain, and you get the famous line, I didn't think the hard stuff's coming down for a while yet, Your Excellency. So he's going to break the course record on the 18th hole. He misses the two-foot putt that would have broke the record, and he curses God and raises his putter to the sky, and he gets struck by lightning. And Bill Murray sneaks off. Well, what happens afterwards is that there's a scene in the locker room where the priest is in there, and he's brooding because he didn't break the course record. And he says something, and he's drinking. And Ted Knight comes in, Judge Schmales comes in when the priest reacts to someone who says something, and the priest says, there is no God, because he didn't break the course record. And Ted Knight goes in, what was the priest's name? Let's just say Fred, for example. Fred, for heaven's sake, you're a priest, for God's sake, with a collar. That's what's going on here. Now over to Rod Dreher, American Conservative Magazine website. What did the Cardinals know and when did they know it? He cites the Washington Post story that I just read you from yesterday's front page editions. Then you get this about his feud about McCarrick, the Captain Safe Environment Training, relaying the story here. It is or ought to be, says Dreher. McCarrick has long been said to be close to Francis. As I wrote the other day, McCarrick's longtime friend and protege, Bishop Kevin Farrell, who was made a cardinal by Francis and made head of the Vatican's office in charge of family policy. What a joke that is. For the worldwide church, Farrell has endorsed Father James Martin's book, advocating affirmation of LGBTs in the church, and is overseeing next month's World Family Meeting in Dublin, where Father Martin will give a keynote speech. Now, I'm going to England. Our England trip with Regina Magazine is the week before this Irish confab that is going to be held, where the final blow of Irish Catholicism, they're going to try and strike it. Can I tell you that? I have inside info. Can I tell you that the anti-family, anti-faith, anti-catechism, anti-dogma creeps won't be the only ones making a show of it at the Synod on the Family in Ireland? They're not going to be the only ones there. Keep that in mind. Then it gets even more embarrassing, as if this isn't enough. Catholic bishops traditionally have a coat of arms designed for themselves. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I do now. According to the Catholic scouting site in Dallas, which posted this, when Farrell was moved from an auxiliary role in the Archdiocese of Washington to run the Diocese of Dallas. That's a big diocese. Here's the explanation of the symbolism of Farrell's coat of arms. And there's a picture of it you can see in the American Conservative Magazine story. As a matter of fact, Ms. O'Connell has it in the chat room that most of you are not. Well, you know, Asuka, we got off to a late start today. And it's Monday. And it's the last week in July, and people, for the most part, are still dead. They'll come to life sometime in mid-August, and we look forward to seeing many of them returning from the dead, resurrected, if you will. So here, my desktop presenter is Let me turn it on so you can see. If you want to give the audience a screenshot of this. The Lion Rampant honors Theodore Cardinal McCarrick. Now, this is the explanation of Farrell's coat of arms here that each bishop apparently has. There you go. If you want to switch to the desktop presenter, you should be able to see my screen. There's the coat of arms that I'm talking about. In the upper portion of the shield, gold, yellow, and the lion, red, are derived from the arms of Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, whom Bishop Farrell assisted as Auxiliary Bishop of Washington. So Dreher's point here is a fair one, and it's a good one. What did he know, this Cardinal or Bishop Farrell, and when did he know it? So here's the logo. You see the red hat of the cardinal here. There's the crucifix on top of the shield. There's the red lion. And this part of it right here is taken from Cardinal McCarrick's the laughable slogan, the motto here. Oh, it isn't. We'll get it up next segment then. The laughable slogan is Stata in Fide, Latin. Now, I'm no Latin scholar, but I am pretty sure that means standing in the faith or standing for the faith. Oh, okay. What did Cardinal Farrell know about McCarrick's past, and when did he know it? Was he as shocked as everybody else to learn all this about his mentor and patron? I can't see, writes Dreher, how Farrell, given his closeness to McCarrick and his key role directing the Family Policy Office for the Vatican, can avoid addressing these questions directly. And what about Cardinal Tobin? Now, again, I was at this this retreat meeting this weekend of people that know far more about this than I do. The name Tobin, Cardinal Tobin, came up frequently, meaning this in some circles is well known. Dreher, what about Cardinal Tobin? As I wrote the other day, McCarrick's influence with Francis is believed to have been behind the swift rise of Archbishop Joseph Tobin on Indianapolis, who I understand, by the by, is notorious for several other things, which I won't get into today. Let us say he is not a fan of tradition or the old mass. By the way, I'm going to put a little asterisk here so I know where to come back to. Can I just tell you again, I think this is probably the fifth time. And just for the record, Tobin who was created a cardinal by Pope Francis, then moved to Newark, McCarrick's old see. And this is where his name has come up several times. What I've heard. Can I just say that 7:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, that's pretty early, right? Who usually goes to these early, early masses for people that think that you're supposed to discharge your Sunday obligation? You know, old fuddy-duddy traditionals like us who think that, oh, better church, please. You don't have to go every Sunday anymore. They changed all that after the Vatican II. Yeah, sure they did. I mean, you could go anyways, even if they did and they didn't, you could still go, you know, just for fun and go, hey, Lord, hey, how are you? Don't I stop by and say hello? You could. 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning. Now, let's say you got a family of eight. Mom, dad, six kids are going to be thrown into a panel of Chevy panel van or a Ford Econoline panel van. that's what the Kerr family drives, right? I think it's a Ford. 7:30 a.m. Okay, you got to, number one, you have to be up early enough. Six kids have got to be dressed. You got to get them in there. You're going to want to get there at least a half hour early if you want to do the rosary with everyone else. So now you're looking at 7 a.m. So now we're looking at like a 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. start time on a Sunday morning, which is supposed to be a day of rest. Most people are exhausted from all the work that we have to do to make our fake currency dollars these days and keep up with the Joneses. You would think that that is a mass that would be attended by, or a service, even if it wasn't a mass, a service, that would be attended by old people. Usually when you go to an early one, you see octogenarians being carried out or wheeling themselves out or being carried out to the car by their children who are near octogenarians. So yesterday at St. Mary's in Pine Bluff, I went to the 7:30 and I got there in time for the rosary. Church has been completely redone on the inside. All the old splendor and glory and beauty has been restored. Tell you what, Miss O'Connell, I'll send you the picture that I took. The splendor and the beauty of the inside of St. Mary's. Oh, well, you don't need me. I'm not needed. I'm going to send it to you anyways now. The inside has been restored. Now, you would think now, when someone tells you that nobody goes for that tradition, better church, please. It's in rare, isolated pockets where you find wackos like you and David Simpson and your stupid friends, okay? The rest of us are out here enjoying not having to fast on Fridays and all the rest of it, and we go and we darn well please. You know, we attend the important days, Christmas, Easter, and Ash Wednesday. Now shut up and move along. So you would think that Bubus Laetus, Americanus, that Bubus Laetus, the genus species of the average lukewarm. Yeah, that's it. That's it. I just sent you a picture, too. Would not be into this 7:30 a.m. Can I tell you that that place, other than the front pew, was standing room only? Now, who was it that this is what I say. So, Mitter Church, please, you're depressing us with all this talk about McCarrick. Stop. Well, let me give you the glass half full. That church, St. Mary's in Pine Bluff, had a couple of hundred people at that mass. I would say I put more than half of those in attendance under 18. About half under 18. Children. Contrast that, and that included like a dozen altar servers. I think they had 8 serving yesterday. And included a priest who looked to me to be in his late 20s, early 30s. The demographics are going to win out here. Mathematically speaking, there's not going to be many left, especially with the putrid development formation that you're getting at these Uncle Teddy seminary, Uncle Teddy friendly seminaries out there. There's not going to be very many of the lukewarm left to contracept away, sodomite away, abort away, and carry on the future. Demographic numbers, just mathematical numbers, it's going to lose. Now, what an irony that this infection that is inside the laity, the church militant, is an infection that defies the natural law and life, the natural order of life. It defies it when it says, well, I think we ought to have, if a priest want to marry, please, let them marry. If they want to be sodomites, who am I to judge? All this is an abomination against life. What an irony that they're going to go down, that this splendidly horrific epoch in church history is going to go down because of their disdain for life. What an irony. A fitting irony, I might say. Am I dancing on it? Better church, you're dancing on the grid. No, I'm not. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers at 844 844- 527-8723. If you're shocked by what you've heard today because you came over from Cannon212.com and clicked that listen ad at the top of the page and can't believe your ears, sit down, buckle up. It's going to get better. Oh, and we need your support. If you like what you've heard, then you have a duty to support it. Note I said duty, not number two, duty, D-U-T-Y. Go to CrusadeChannel.com and become a Founders Pass member today. Founders Pass membership is how we keep the lights on, the internet going, and the stream going that you are currently listening to. If you don't join us, no one's going to do it for you. Trust me when I tell you that 2-3% of our faithful, daily, loyal listeners are carrying the load for the other 97%. Get active, join one of our apostolates, become a Founders Pass member, donate when you can, and spread the word. You can do all of it at CrusadeChannel.com. Rod Dreher. She's writing about the web around Cardinal McCarrick that, again, we should not deny. You got to face this and deal with reality. It is what it is. And as it was put to me, these men need to be told by the laity, you need to resign. You need to get out. Get out now. Get your soul right with God, but you're not doing it representing us. Or representing the faith, rather. Joseph Tobin on Indianapolis, who was created a cardinal by Francis, then moved to Newark, McCarrick's old see. Veteran Catholic journalist Rocco Palmo, who is not a partisan, wrote after Tobin's move to Newark, quote, as reported at the top, multiple signs point to Newark's fourth archbishop, McCarrick, as the lead architect behind the choice of his second successor. Having maintained an enduring devotion for and among the Jersey church since his transfer to the Capitol in 2000, McCarrick, who Francis is said to revere as a hero of his, made a direct appeal over recent weeks for Tobin to be named to Newark. According to two sources familiar with the Cardinal's thinking, in the Washington Post story, well, we read this on the same subject, quote, Friedlander said the current, this is the church spokeswoman, Friedlander said the current Newark Archbishop, Cardinal Joseph Tobin, quote, has expressed his intention to discuss this tragedy with the leadership of the USCCB. Oh, that's a joke? Are you kidding me? Yes, let's bring, hey, Mitter fellow, some of them may be Mittis, Mitter and Mittis fellow bishops. Let's have a conversation, shall we, about our friend Uncle Teddy. You just, the optics of this scream outrage. Are you freaking kidding me? What is there to discuss? Do you, Mrs. O'Connell, do me a favor. I don't remember her name, but I did do an interview last year with a woman who made a documentary film, and she had gone around to the Archdiocese of Boston, Archdiocese of somewhere, I want to say it was Indiana, and then Chicago, and she had done this story. Remember? They were trying to close this church down and sell it, and the people were like sleeping in there because you can't close the sanctuary if someone's in there praying. So for like 11 years, they kept vigil inside this church until finally the woman got to be like 80 years old, and she had a heart attack. One of the ones that was in there, and all the other old people had become, none of the young people cared because they were too busy out there doing the Margaritaville Jimmy Buffett mass down the street. And this beautiful old sanctuary, if she left it, as soon as she left it, and then it would not be occupied for a church purpose or whatever the canon law says, and she had a heart attack. And the paramedics had to go in there, and they had to take her out of there and bring her to the hospital, and bam-o, 8 nanoseconds after she was carted off in a ambulance, there was the usual suspects putting the yellow tape up around the church, closing it so it could be sold. Why did they need to sell it? Because they had to pay off the kitty diddlers. They had to pay off those that had abused and that had been pederasts They had to pay him off to shut him up. That's why. Somebody told me recently that there's actually a program that it's so rampant. Now, if you, Mitter Church, why are you making that the big deal of? Because it's important. That this is so rampant and so disgustingly prolific. There's actually a program in one of the large, again, no details. I had this on a good, very credible source. There's actually a program, and I bet somebody listening right now does have the details, in a northeastern, very large diocese. If you go to a certain rectory and say, hey, Father Bubus Pederastus abused me when I was 15 or whatever for 3 years. They do a little investigation. They find out, yeah, that you actually were in that parish. They'll give you a cash bribe. Right then. You sign a little waiver saying, I won't bring any charges, et cetera. This was the last time I'll speak of it, et cetera. You get paid off. It's taken care of. That's how prolific, that's how widespread this is. I think she was foreign, I want to say. I want to say she was kind of like Eben Tranholm, but it may have been. Oh, okay. Yeah, there it is right there. So, you see, this is why Mitz O'Connell is a crack producer. Parishioners say farewell to Shituate Church. This is from May of 2016. This is the Boston Globe. Hundreds of solemn parishioners crowded to St. Francis Cabrini Church for a final service Sunday morning, but by nightfall, the church was strangely quiet. The dismantling had begun. By midnight Monday, St. Francis will be empty for the first time in 4,235 consecutive days. Now listen, no vigilers sleeping on shabby cots in tight quarters, some using boiling water for an electric teapot to wash their faces in the morning. Gone are the legal advisors consulting with parishioners on ways to block the Boston Archdiocese from forcing them out of the church they have defiantly occupied since 2004. You heard that story right here on the Crusade Channel. A woman made a documentary film about it, and we had her on as a guest. In the end, legal appeals ran out when the Supreme Court refused to hear the parishioners' case against the Archdiocese on May the 16th. Their nearly 12-year round-the-clock vigil to save St. Francis from being closed down was over, and the congregation's relationship, as was the congregation's relationship with the Archdiocese. You see what the side effect of this war against life, with this abominable war against life, you see what the side effect is. The clergy join forces and they're allied against the faithful. Same thing with our friend. Oh, help me out, Jeremy. The faithful Laurentians in Philadelphia. Valise. Remember? They came on this show in May of 2016, and she actually came to the event at the Twin Smoke Shop at the Let My People Smoke event, told a story about how they wanted to sell this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful church, St. Laurentian, which was designed by a very famous architect, a classic old-style cathedral church in Philadelphia, and the diocese had marked it to be sold so that this Bubus Americanus developeris could go in and there and make condos in it. Condos! With a Walmart flea market in the middle! And this group joined together and said, you can't take our church from us. And for over a year, they fought. Brave, gallant fight. They ultimately lost. St. Laurentius now is no more. It's now Pretty Acres Condos. And it's not even pretty. This is a result of 5 decades of warring again against life and against tradition. This is what it gets you. Which is why I say, if you're not willing to confront this head on, well, then you might as well go and start hanging out at Six Flags Over Heresy down the street. Because you're useless. You're a useful idiot at that point. You have no purpose. Or if you have a purpose, you have the wrong one. Now, there are good priests out there and good bishops that are stepping up to lead the way. Like the letter that I read you last week. Who is the letter from Netflix? The priest from who wrote and then published a letter that he wrote to Netflix saying, I canceled my subscription and I'm telling my parishioners that they should do the same. Father John, I think I had a letter open here somewhere. What is she saying? I can't hear. Rapisardio, Father John Rapisardio. Did you see Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers at CrusadeChannel.com. If you like what you're hearing, you have a duty to support us. Please go to CrusadeChannel.com. Become a Founders Pass member today. That's our membership service. Gets you instant access to all the downloads of this show. We're at 600 episodes now? What episode number are we at? 600 episodes. And look, what is it? Can't hear you. Today's episode 614. Now, these aren't your little cheesy, wimpy podcasts that are pre-recorded and you get 5 attempts. Take 3. These are live 4-hour shows. 614 of them now. By the way, for those of you that cling to your SiriusXM screen, well, I get all that with the SiriusXM app. No, you don't. You get 5 days. 5 days. We got 614 episodes of this show. The one I'm talking about the church closings, in the can. Available as podcasts. Go listen to them to your little heart's content. You get all that for 23 cents per day. I'll make the pot even sweeter for you. Go and subscribe today and take 50% off by entering the coupon code July. So that would mean you get a yearly subscription for $49.99. That's half price for an entire year. I think after you start listening, you subscribe, that you will donate the remaining $49.99 back to the Crusade Channel because of the work that you hear being done here. But you got to make that first leap and join. You can do so today. Again, CrusadeChannel.com. Okay. Back to the story now. In a Post story, a church spokesman said, Friedlander said, the current Newark Archbishop, Cardinal Joseph Tobin, has expressed his intention. Okay, we already did this about the USCCB. And then Rod Dreher. You know what Cardinal Tobin is not saying? What, if anything, he knew about McCarrick before he took over in Newark? He surely knew about the 2004 and 2007 settlements made with his archdiocese. Why is Cardinal Tobin not demanding to seek justice for all those who have been abused by McCarrick? It's repulsive that he can talk about, that all he can talk about is jabbering with us. When I said this is a joke, people had to be going, what? You're going to have a meeting? By the way, I hear it's going to be in Baltimore in November. Maybe some of us should go and show up there. With the St. Joseph meme that I spoke of earlier that you could see in the chat room. What do you think that CNN might want to cover that? Good Lord. Given the horror of what McCarrick did, this kind of bureaucratic rot is intolerable. Now look, there's some sour grapes here because Dreher's not a Catholic anymore. We hope and pray he comes back because we need guys like him as part of the church militant. But having said that, he's not an enemy either. Listen, this came into my email box tonight from a reader. It's a guy that wrote to Rod Dreher. By the way, you can write to me, KingDude, KINGDUDE, @MikeChurch.com. I would love to hear from you. I am so repulsed by this entire situation, Rod. I've known about this for well over 20 years. Many years ago, I had an acquaintance, the friend of a now-deceased friend, who was a seminarian at Seton Hall in the mid-late 1990s. By the time I knew him, he had already left the seminary and moved on to other opportunities. But he was so deeply disturbed by the things that he had witnessed in seminary that he discussed them fairly openly. While I believed he was telling the truth, I didn't know what I could do with such information. He felt the same way. He knew all about Uncle Teddy's Funhouse. You can't make this stuff up, Uncle. This sounds like a circus attraction. And it is a circus. He knew all about Uncle Teddy's Funhouse, the shared beds, the trips to the shore house, the unwanted touching, inappropriate comments, etc. He himself had been invited to the shore house on a couple of occasions, although he didn't actually sleep with McCarrick. He told me that it was well known among the seminarians and that you knew there was a reason you were even invited to the house. Even so, none of them felt that he could refuse the invitation. This is outright extortion here. Straight up extortion. This young man told me stories both in person and in emails. Unfortunately, the emails were sent to an old account of mine, which has been deleted and to which I no longer have access. I haven't spoken to the former seminarian since our mutual friend died some 18 years ago. Even so, his words have stuck with me, and there have been many times when I've wondered if I should have spoken out. I always opted not to because I had no proof, and my acquaintance hadn't been willing to speak on record. But that's just it. If someone like me has known about these abuses for 20-plus years, there had to be many, many more people, both laity and in positions of authority, who have also known. Dum-de-dum-dum. Dreyer, readers, I heard that same kind of story many times about Cardinal McCarrick back in 2002 when I was working in New York and writing about it. He was working for a newspaper, and he was assigned this case. And Dreyer's work was never published because they could not get the source to go on the record. And his editor, I know this story, and his editor told him, Rod, I'll publish the story, but you have to get someone to go on the record. And they wouldn't do it for fear of reprisals from the Catholic hierarchy. This is as rotten as it freaking gets here. It doesn't get anywhere. You know, we have Mordor on the Potomac River. You know, with the Tower of Sauron being the Washington Monument. I don't know where the UCCB is. Wherever it is, that's another Mordor. And there is a Tower of Sauron there. Dreyer, one of my sources telling these stories was New Jersey priest Father Boniface Ramsey, whom I couldn't persuade at the time to go public. He did go public in an interview with the New York Times a couple of weeks ago, and he also spoke to the Washington Post. Quote, in March 2015, Ramsey said he ran into McCarrick at the funeral of Cardinal Edward Egan of New York City. New York City? Yep, New York City. They got rotten salsa there too, by the way. And became upset that the Cardinal was still out and about, he said. But by the way, I'm just going to drop something in here that may or may not matter or make sense to some people. Quite frankly, I don't care anymore. I can tell you, personally, I'm in a church, that's hearsay. If I were to tell you the whole details, you'd say it's hearsay. And I'd say to you, you have your opinion and I have mine. When this show was heard and was broadcast on the SiriusXM Patriot channel, I personally knew these two men assisted me personally. One of them even got me, some of you will remember this, one of them even got me an authentic, original 1905 copy of Humility of Heart that was printed by the Oxford Press that we used to put our edition together. He got it out of the Archdiocese of New York's library. I had the emails to prove it. Hell, I got pictures of the book. Do you know that by the time the dismissal of this show and the non-renewal of its contract was done, which I have very, very good intel and could tell you stories about why that ultimately happened and who was behind it. You know, I've written to both of those priests, both of them, who I had extensive correspondence with. Written both of them twice. And even resent one of them to my father, just making sure you got this. You know what I get in return? Guess what I get in return for the men that are under Cardinal or Timothy Cardinal Dolan?
0.0.
They absolutely will not endure or tolerate any deviance from the bureaucratic, laissez-faire, lukewarm status of affairs that might even now include direct sexual apostasy. This stuff is real. And it's the human element at work, and it has to go. Here's Celeste Youngblood with your 8:30 a.m. Central Time news headlines, Crusade Channel, King-Size Truth from radio-sized speakers.
In the beginning, God created man, and then woman, and then...
Oh, my God.
Then the fall. Along comes this Harvey Weinstein-looking snake and ruins everything.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What are we gonna do now?
Yeah, Cosgrove. What are you gonna do now? You're gonna start acting all crusadery and listen to the Mike Church Show. Your remedy to the fall headquarters. Exclusively on the Crusade Channel. King-Size Truth. From radio-sized speakers.
Thank you very much for your time tonight.
It's my great pleasure to be with you. Good
now,
evening.
You're an economist working in the banking sector, yeah?
I am. Should I get a lawyer? I think I'm entitled to legal representation if we're going to discuss my work.
No, this is just a few simple questions. Don't
simple
worry.
Questions? Yeah. How simple?
Well, they're theoretical.
Theoretical. Questions. I can deal. Yeah. Okay. We can deal with that. Yeah. I mean, don't hold me to the answers, but
why not?
Well, because I'm an economist and I can think of a different set of circumstances under which my responses might vary somewhat.
And everything's connected to everything else, isn't it?
In economics, I'm afraid that is the global fear right at the moment, yeah.
Now, right, there's a lot of uncertainty in world economics, isn't
there? There is a great deal of uncertainty and a lack of confidence.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk of quantitative easing.
Quantitative
easing,
that's
a term we hear all the time.
That's a term you hear a lot at the moment, yes.
Yeah, what exactly is quantitative easing?
Well, I can answer this because actually we're advising a couple of governments about this right at the moment.
And what are you saying to them?
Perhaps I should just take you through what we're telling them to do.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I won't go into a lot of detail.
No,
that'd be indiscreet. But this will give you an idea of how quantitative easing works.
Yep.
Take printer out of box and place on table with the out tray facing the window.
The out tray facing the window.
That's right. Load paper into the paper receptacle and place currency on glass tray F.
Right.
Check alignment by printing out a test page.
Right.
Go into copy settings and select double-sided and the number of copies you require.
How many would you suggest?
In the case of one of our clients, it's 80 billion, 120 billion in the case of another client, and one client wants a trillion of these things.
Can you get printers to do that?
No, you can't. You're going to need a bank of them. I mean, it's a multi-printer
job. You
need
some big ones,
yeah, big industrial strength.
Yeah.
Big like a Bofors gun, all facing the window.
Yeah.
Once you've ascertained that you have the alignment correct, you alert the banking sector, open the window, and press copy.
And stand well back.
Yes, you've got to stand well back because they can create a bit of a vacuum while reaching cruising height.
Whereabouts?
In the superfund industry very often.
And you'd have to consider the wind direction too,
wouldn't you? Well, you don't want to be doing this upwind.
No, because you'd be covered in pretend money, couldn't you?
Covered in what?
Pretend money.
No, this is not pretend money. This is real currency we're creating.
But aren't you just printing it off? I mean, these are photocopies, aren't they?
Excuse me. Dave, this is not going to work. Because I've just explained it to a bloke and he saw through it straight away. Are you in banking?
No.
No, he's not even in the banking racket. Okay, I'll try that.
Try what?
Have you ever heard of Rumpelstiltskin?
No.
Good. Now we get it.
a special dedication for Miss Maggie O'Connell, since I wasn't here on Friday to play Bee Gees. She's tapping her foot in the other room.
Now I look down on forever.
And the disco ball going. Ann Felton's going to put an animated GIF in the chat room at MikeChurch.com any moment now. Welcome back. Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth for radio size speakers on a Monday. Asking you to take 8 weeks of daily doses of the Founding Father's Red Pill. Unplug the matrix cable from the back of your head. Claim your philosophy and put any thinking skills. Become members of the self-governing people of peace. United States, not a job, it's a way of life. Oh, you want more? I'm happy to play more if you... I'm counting the day. I am counting the hours down to get back the Free Phone Friday Brothers Gibb Super Medley up in... Huh. You can join our live chat room at MikeChurch.com. It's free. Don't cost nothing. It is our online communication and community. By the way, a brand new Crusader monastery. I got to tell you, I was shocked, very surprised to see that when Mrs. Linscombe updated the Crusader monastery prayer intentions yesterday for one of our listeners who professed that he is currently a Southern Baptist and is hearing things about Catholicism that he never heard before here on the Crusade Channel. He's going like, I am actually thinking of conversion. Look, dude, once you say those words, you're gone, it's over. There's no putting that genie back in the bottle. You might as well just go ahead and do it because it's going to happen. Ask Joss Will, ex-Sandy Giuliano, ex-Ashley Duran. Go in the chat room and ask any of them in there, and they'll tell you. It's useless to fight it. Join. Just get it over with. And I don't say get it over with dismissively. But anyways, I was flabbergasted to hear or to see that there was only 12 names on that email addresses on that prayer list. I thought there was like 100. Which makes the work of praying for Lillianne Vitale, baby Lillianne, baby Alexander, and baby Isaac, the babies, prematures, preemies that were born at 23, 25, and 27 weeks, respectively, who all now survive. And that's how the Crusader Monastery prayer list got started. And if you want to join the list, it's easy to do. Just like joining the Cone Fraternity of the Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary. Go to my website, find the web page by scrolling through the items at the top of the page on the front page, if it's not on the front page, and then email address and name, and that's it. Or the main thing is to print the five intentions out to become a Crusader Knight. So that's one of the things that just made me so joyful in hanging around at Father Heilemann's rectory at St. Mary's in Pine Bluff, Wisconsin, is the fact that he has this apostolate going, the Roman Catholic man. And as I say all the time, this is a men's revolution. Guys, stop being a metrosexual loser. Be a St. Pio. Get the rosary out. Pray it like you mean it every day. Join the Cone Fraternity and lead. The ladies will follow. And they will support us with prayer and good dinners and lunches. And Mirror Church, you've done it now. I had them up until I went chauvinist pig. Anyways. by the way, Melissa Linscombe is actually in the chat room at MikeChurch.com, so you could private message her in. It's one of the things that you can do and say, hey, Mrs. Linscombe, I don't feel like sending an email. I can't spell it anyways. Crusader Monastery at crusadechannel.com. That's like 30 characters over my budget. It's above my pay grade. If it was CM at cc.com, I could do it. She can add you to the list. Anyways, Father Heilemann has this, and I was talking about this earlier, the spiritual ammo box that we're going to try and get from Father and sell in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com. He has this apostolate going, and I met a couple of the guys. As a matter of fact, the name Sam Guzman was mentioned after Holy Mass yesterday. And Sam has been interviewed, I believe, twice on Reconquest by Brother Andre Marie. And runs the website Catholic, the Catholic Gentleman. So there are cone fraternities and groups popping up all over the amber waves of heresy out there, where men are rejoining the faith and or rejoining the crusade. So why we call this the Crusade Channel. If you wanted to know. It reminds me, I was reading, I'm almost finished Father Slattery's book. And I showed this to one of my fellow rebels this weekend at our retreat at Father's Rectory. And he told me, he goes, I got that book. They sent me a copy of that book. I said, have you picked it up? He goes, no. And I said, read it. Read it. I'm on the chapter right now. Let's see, where am I? Guardian, I'm on chapter 8. Fathers of Chivalry, a New Type of Warrior. Now, if you want to know what's gone wrong, then read this and you'll know how it went right. What people don't realize, and I don't think most Catholics realize this, and there's a great debt owed to the ancient Holy Roman Catholic Church. I'm talking about the ancient catacombs to 12th century. So around the time of St. Aquinas, we owe a great debt to the men that perfected Christianity, as it were, and made it what it is today. The knights, before there were crusaders, there were knights, there were men that took, the term chivalry is, it comes from a French word, and the French word is chevaral, I believe. And I just saw this in the chevalerie. And so I'm reading this chapter going like, every man, every dude, every man that's active in the church militant or thinks or is listening to a loud mouth like me going like, oh, I'm in a church. I want to be active. I want to become a crusader. Read Father Slattery's book. We have it in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop. It's called Heroism and Genius, How Catholic Priests Help Build and Can Help Rebuild Western Civilization. Here's just a little snippet from the chapter on chivalry and a new type of warrior. Now, please note that all of your fascination, all you neocons and Decepticons and Warhawks out there, all of your fascination and obsession with war and the implements of war and of the, hold on. All your fascination with it is actually a fascination with a perversion of the Christian soldier. Now, he can be returned, but he's not going to be returned in participating in the unjust activities that he's participating in today. Let me just put it that way. I tell you that yesterday, I was on a Southwest Airlines flight from Atlanta to New Orleans here on my way home last night. It was 4 hours delayed because I missed my first flight. I was stuck in the Milwaukee airport for 4.5 hours. I visited every bar on Concourse C. If you were accosted by me yesterday, I apologize. This is an example of this. Thank you for your service. What service? Oh, you're thank you for your service. Now, it's not to say that there aren't honorable men and women in the armed forces, because there are. So this is not a blanket statement. However, it is a largely true statement. Thanking someone for a service that is being performed unjustly and is an abomination before God and is actually a return to the pre-chivalry days of the barbarian warrior. Needs to end. Now, I'm fascinated by reading Father Slattery's account, because he plainly says, look, it took 500 years for this code of chivalry to sink in completely, and then even after it sank in completely, there were still those who contravened it. However, it did make the tradition that we would call the chivalric knight, if you will. And that took 500 years to perfect, because barbaric pagan man warred unjustly, violently, savagely, barbarically. And this is what we are returning to today when we say, yeah, I tell you what, you just drop a drone strike on them damn towel heads over there. Oh, yeah, you're pro-life too, aren't you, sir? Father Slattery. Hence, chivalry is no vague idealism. Anyways, what I was going to say, I was on a Southwest Airlines flight, and the flight attendant comes on and says, oh, by the way, I noticed that we had a member of our military on. In Southwest Airlines, we like being free, and we know that our freedom is preserved and protected by members of of our armed forces. Thank you for your service. Let's all put our hands together and thank them for their service. And then there was the golf clap. And it just reminded me of that. How do you know that particular service was worthy of being thanked for? Watch the movie Eye in the Sky. Read my friend Laurie Calhoun's book, We Kill Because We Can. And then come back to me about thanking for service. Which, again, that's not a blanket statement. I'm not accusing you, if you're wearing a uniform right now, if your son is, that's not an accusation against your son. I know I'm going to get hate mail. You. I knew there was a reason why I was suspect of you. You hate America, and you hate our I do not. I think we should have militias. And I think that all able-bodied young men like young Yakub in the other room there ought to be force-fed to be members of it. That's another story for another day. Hence, chivalry is no vague idealism. It is not merely a spirit of magnanimity or noble behavior, but a precise ethos that is quintessentially Catholic. So when you say chivalry is missing from modern life, what you're saying then, and this is me saying this now, is that Catholicism, Catholic male behavior, traditional behavior is missing. And that is true. That's a fact, Jack. For without Catholicism, history would never have known chivalry. True. It is true that among the Germanic tribes, there was a ceremony of military investiture by which a young man became a warrior. It involved a bath of purification and the conferring of the javelin, helmet, and shield by the Ute's father. This warrior culture may well have matured into an elite group of Franks with a level of military prowess on a par with other high-quality forces such as the samurai or the Janissaries. Likewise, by acquiring the culture of romantic love and courtesy originating in Arabic Spain, they might have carved out a niche in history as a somewhat exotic military class. However, with those features alone, what the world knows today as classic chivalry would not have existed. It was Catholicism that brought the new ethos to birth by raising the hearts and minds of men to the contemplation of the highest religious and ethical ideal for warriors through a ritual and code accessed by a mystical and sacramental worldview. Chivalry, says Chesterton, quote, might be called the baptism of feudalism. It was an attempt to bring the justice and even the logic of the Catholic creed into a military system which already existed, to turn its discipline into initiation and its inequalities into a hierarchy. Close quote. Read this book. All right, to the telephones. Shocked to say we have a call on a Monday. It must be a mistake. 844-527-8723. Todd McClure, our friend and the proprietor of McClure, two C's, M-C-C-L-U-R-E, McClureTables.com, of which I was just speaking Thursday, best, most beautiful handmade shuffleboard tables made in America, in Michigan, from Michigan hardwoods by Michiganders, is on the Dude Maker Hotline with us here on a Monday. Mr. McClure, greetings, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, Mike? I am blessed.
You are blessed. Yes, I guess I am blessed, too.
Yes, and I'm mostly blessed from the Crusade Channel. Actually gave me my blessings, I think, or they started them, but I was listening about the time where you mentioned, you probably mentioned my name when you were talking about the Southern Baptists, and you said, ask Josh Will, ask a few others. Well, I tell you what, I got a little tip for your Southern Baptist. He doesn't have to be Catholic to do this, and this is the problem with one of the things here in Michigan, we got a lot of CRC people, and they know the Bible very well. But when you talk to them and you ask the Protestant friends, it says, well, where's your confessional? I said, well, tell that Baptist friend, just walk into the confessional. You don't have to be Catholic. Just walk in there. Tell the priest you're not Catholic. Give your confessions. The hook's set. Now go see a Tridentine Mass, and you're done. It's over.
It's over.
You'll be a convert.
I got to tell you that I told Midas Church, this always happens to me. It never happens to anyone else, it seems. Southwest Airlines, Goat Herder Airlines, where you were where you were instructed and learned how to become a member of a thinkless robotic herd of Bubus Americani, herded me into a seat yesterday, and I was sitting next to a young man who was a missionary Pentecostal. Brother, when I tell you that I got an ear full of Jesus, I am not. And look, I had a dialogue. You know what I did? I gave him a. Is the pole still in the room? The pole is. Cesare, I gave him a prayer card. I gave him a Our Lady of Shestahoa. He looked at it and he went, oh, yeah, I have a problem with her, with that. And your idolatry. And, you're praying to her. I said, we don't pray to her, we pray through her. We always, you can't find a prayer that's not an intercessory. And then he said something about, well, that's not, it's not in the Bible. Why would I go to her when I can go directly to him? And besides, that prayer is not in the Bible. I said, it most certainly is. Hello, hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Who in the hell do you think said that? He goes, oh, well, that was just an angel that showed up. I mean, just an angel that showed up. This is the Pentecostal telling me, I'm in a church, please. It's just an angel that happened by. Just an angel that happened by.
Just an angel that happened to be the sent from God to incarnate a virgin in the Son that you all want to worship.
Well,
and do you not believe in the Trinity?
And then
Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Are they not all one and the same? So when Mary said yes and opened the door to Jesus, she opened the door to God.
She opened the door to heaven.
To heaven, I know.
If our Lord doesn't come, then what is he? Now, look, here's what I hit him with after that. I said, you do not deny that his DNA is hers. And he went, oh no, I would never deny that. I said, well, then what's the issue? I said, if your best friend is doing something wrong and you want him to change, and you know his mother very well, and you're kind of, a little hesitant about going directly to him, is there anything wrong with going to his mother and saying, hey, Chad is doing this. Maybe, you could intercede, and have an intervention. He goes, absolutely not. I said, okay, well, that's what a prayer through Our Lady does. Silence. I got silence. But then, no, we continue. So we're getting off the plane. I love this story. We're getting off the plane. And he says, Mr. Church, would you do me the honor of praying with me when we're not in a closed environment space? I said, Justin, absolutely, I will pray with you. So we get off, and he's standing there, and he goes, okay. I said, do you want to pray here on the concourse? It's fine. And he goes to bow his head. I said, I'm going to patria filio spiritui sancto. He looked at me like, okay, I had three heads, and the one in the center was square and purple. So he went ahead with his, they laid his hand on my shoulder and gave me the Jesus bless you and protect you prayer. And I said, okay, now time for me to pray with you. And there was four of them. Now there's five of them. I'm surrounded by Presbyterians. I mean, by Pentecostals. Yeah. They're all smiling kids. So I'm like, I'm very happy to be in this situation. I said, now I'm going to pray for you to be safely protected here and on your way back to Milwaukee. And I'm going to pray to St. Michael the Archangel. And then I did it again. I go, no, I'm going to patria filia spiritui sancta. Then I gave it to him in Latin.
Yep, that's the best thing to do.
I got Sancta Michael Archangel. And they're looking at me like, oh my gosh, he's speaking Latin. Because he had regaled me with the speaking of tongues on the plane. So I'm going like, I'm going to give you some tongues, young man. So I gave him a St. Michael prayer in Latin. And you know what? We got to say goodbye. I shook all their hands, met them all by name, smiled at them, wished them God love you. Gave Justin a hug. I'll pray for you, brother. He goes, I'm going to pray for you too, Mr. Church. And it was beautiful. It was really, I really was blessed to have sat next to that kid on the plane. He was 22 years old.
Oh, well, maybe you've set the hook. But, you know, I had a similar situation with some Protestants during Lent. For 40 days during Lent, I signed up and I prayed in front of the abortion clinic every single day. I committed to it for the 40 days. I gave an hour, and I met wonderful Christians of all types down there. One time I was a bunch of Protestants, and they come up to me and said, would you like to pray with us? I said, yeah, sure. So they pray, and it sounded to me like they were just heaping up a bunch of words. They just stopped. I said, oh, God, we want this, what that. And I said, they're done. I said, would you mind if I go ahead and say a prayer? So I went to St. Michael prayer to them in Latin.
Now, you see, now Latin is such... It's like French. When someone is speaking Romantic French, you just can't help but love the use of the pronunciations and the diphthongs. And you know, they're wordsmiths, someone that speaks good French.
The beauty and the reverence of it. In fact, I just got back from a 9 a.m. Latin Mass. We have a 9 a.m. Latin Mass here in the morning, and there's a lot of elderly people there. And I saw this one lady. She must have been about 95. And I tell you, Mike, it took her all of, you want to talk about dedication, it probably took her all of 10 to 15 seconds to get down on her knees. And her son was with her, and he was there to help her back up after she got up. But she got down on her own, and she stood there and took the host. And it was just a beautiful sight to see.
Now, this is a low mass you went to, right?
Yeah, low mass, 9 o'clock morning, low mass. I've been to mass 3 days in a row here. I went to Saturday mass, Sunday. We have a holy man giving our mass. Our Father Sirico at our regular parish is off in Italy on a Scavi tour for the dead. They're excavating tombs, and they thought they needed a priest along, so he was accepted. And we have I believe he's from South Africa, but we have a man from South Africa doing it. And it, you know, when you get a new priest, it's sometimes not always the same. And my wife goes, well, I thought you said you didn't like it that much. I said, well, it's not about the man, it's about the mass.
Oh yeah. Well, there's something else. The reason I asked if it was a low mass or a high mass, because at St. Mary's in Pine Bluff on Saturday, Father Heilemann did a low mass, and then yesterday, I didn't get the priest's name, but I'm sure somebody that was there is going to send me an email and tell me. They did the high mass, the sung mass. And I told young Jakub this morning when I got here, I said, you know what the coolest thing about... And I use the term cool as in exciting cool. Mm-hmm. Not, it's cool, man. It's good at Woodstock. Yeah, I don't mean cool like that. The exciting thing about that, and the thing that is so that jumps out at you and is undeniable, The Tridentine Mass, if you want to call it this, the Mass of the Council of Trent, of Pius V, or Missale Romane, that Mass is identical no matter where I see it, no matter where I hear it, from the entrance to the asparagus all the way to the last gospel and to the Salve Regina at the end, which most do, not all of them, but most. That's optional, yeah. Outside the gospel, that's optional, by the way. Oh, so just Salve, no, it's optional. It's outside. It's after the Mita, Ite Missa Est. So yeah. Anything outside of the Ite Missa Est is optional. You don't have to do it. You can. Wait, yeah, hold on. Jacob's talking to me. The Mass is over after Ite Missa Est, right. So the second gospel is said, it's not said at any Novus Ordo Masses, unfortunately. It should be. Talk about a beautiful and reverent piece of biblical or scripture gospel authorship. Anyways, it's the exact same, Todd. There's no difference. I can sing along with it no matter where I go.
But even not to knock the Novus Ordo Mass, even, honestly, because to me, that's one of the things I love about the beauty of Catholicity, is that any Catholic church you go to is the same. The order's the same. When I was in Europe, I went to Mass in French, German, Czech, you name it. The order's the same. You know, I can't understand a word what they're saying, but I know what they're saying because I know what the order of the Mass is.
Oh,
because
they're doing it in the vernacular. So they're doing
it.
They're
doing it in their local language. Exactly.
Right.
But no, it's just, you know, I'm blessed. I couldn't be any more blessed. And I want to put a shout out to David Simpson, that book he wrote, Financial, I can't think of the name of it.
Financial Sanity.
Financial Sanity. That he pulled out all the things out of the Bible that I've always said, well, why doesn't a preacher say this? Why does he say that? In fact, I had a meeting with my guys this morning, and I pulled one of the stories out about the guy that, the story where they pay the people to go work the field. He'll be first, he'll be first, and last is last. Like, you know, because I got a few things. Well, Johnny works harder than I do. How come he's not doing his fair share? It's mine. But I got a shout out to David. He did a wonderful job on that book, and I'm telling the very opening, that first verse. That's what I'm working on now, and so I think you can count on the Veritas Network's future is going to be secure. Shuffleboard business is going very well. The more I put my spiritual life in order, the more my financial life gets in order.
Isn't that funny how that can occur?
Yeah. when you sit there and you tell God, okay, God, what are you giving me all this for? What's the purpose? Who am I going to help? He just keeps showering it on you, and I keep saying, okay, you got a lot of faith in me. We'll see where it goes, and I'll try and be as benevolent as I can with the wealth that you gave me stewardship over, but it's not mine.
Well, look, one thing I learned from my clandestine meeting that sworn to secrecy on some parts of is that you would be surprised, and I kind of was surprised, but now I am actually relieved and feel like, you know what, we are not alone here. You'd be surprised if I told you the names of some very, what you would think to be very, very successful media endeavors that are very large, much more well-known than the Crusade Channel is, or maybe even ever be, that their apostolate mission struggle is the same as ours. It just has a couple more zeros attached to it. They don't know month to month where the resources are going to come from to continue, but they keep coming.
That's kind of, you know, in reality, that's the way. I mean, I think that, unfortunately, as David points out in his book, I think the majority of Americans are in the mode of debt slave. If you're accessing your liberty and you're in charting your own course and your own true future. It's always like that. It never ends.
No, and it's never going to
matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. The money flows. It comes in. It goes out. You've got to, you know, one of the things I've kind of, you know, that's been amazing for my life is that one of the best books I've always been attracted to is Matthew, and I always kind of went to the part about the birds and the bees don't worry about gathering and where they're going to eat their next meal. And unfortunately, I've kind of lived my business life like that. And when I was in the darkness and a lot of sin, it just struggled up and down, up and down. When I get in the light, I still don't worry about my next meal. but I still have issues. I still have problems, you know. I still have, okay, gee, I hope another paycheck comes in, so I hope somebody buys a shuffleboard so I can make my payroll next week. Otherwise, I got to go draw on this line of credit. You know, it's just that's the ebb and flow of business, you know.
Well, it is a little different when you're doing it by definition for, quote, not-for-profit.
Not-for-profit, or yeah, yeah.
Now,
but here you... sometimes you can run a business for non-profit too. But
yes, I am running one that is not-for-profit. Certainly isn't for my profit. Anyways, the thing that you kind of learn though, and then you have to learn this, and this is why I get on this soapbox preaching about, do you know the difference between a vocation and a career? And some people will look at you like you've got the three heads and the one in the center is square and purple and go like, man, that's the same thing. What are you talking about? Well, a vocation, again, is something that you do because you love doing it. And you do it because the reward can be the work. It can and should be the work itself. That is the reward. The reward can be, hey, I'm obeying the first commandment and all the other ones after it too, but I am not doing anything in my vocation that damages the state of grace that I can be in by obeying the first commandment. And if your first vocation is to keep the first commandment, and then of course the other ones after that, then you're not going to be able to participate in a, quote, career, close quote, where, for example, you're dealing with aiding and abetting usurers. You can't work for a Citibank anymore. You just can't do it.
No, you can't.
So you can't participate because you know it's wrong. You know that you're participating in something that's an abomination. Now, I'm under no delusion that, short of me and you and David Simpson and a couple of other friends, that anyone is going to pick this particular cross up and bear it. You know why? Because Bubus Americanus is so deeply rooted in all of us by virtue of the paradigm in which we live and were raised, that it's only by the only way that this could, that we could possibly begin to restore the order, as John Horvath said, and his brother Andre talks about, is through grace. There's no effort that you can put into it other than saying, yes, I want to be a distributist like Belloc and Chesterton.
Start doing God's will, not yours.
Yes. I am of the opinion that the only way this is going to happen, it will happen for anyone, is through, or the way anything happens is either through providence or grace anyways, but through grace. Grace will have to prevail.
Exactly.
And that's not to say that it won't or that it can't, because I'd like to think that there's some prevailing now. I won't find out until I'm dead, but I hope that that's what it is. But I think it is the important work of the age in which we live. And again, God knows, he knows, like Father W is saying, I'm not allowed to say his name because if I do, he'll get in trouble with his bishop. Father, because somebody in this audience rats me out whenever I say his name and talk about something he said and goes, yeah, you know that they use his sermons on radio. Did you know that? Yeah, and they're not friendly. They're not friendly to us lukewarms. Do you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Anyways, like Father W likes to say, God's in charge and he knows what he's doing. So, conform your mind to that reality. Did the dog just get loose?
They're getting trained. They're Zeke and Ambrose. They're getting trained on the fence, and some jogger went jogging by, and they're at that point when they go through the fence, they get the electric shock, you got to call them back.
Oh!
And they were running through the fence.
So doesn't the electric fence stop them?
No, it's like those invisible. It's the invisible fence, and they wear the collars. And when they go, they got a collar on, and when they cross it up to 10 feet, they still get keep getting shocked.
Yeah, but isn't it supposed to shot? It's supposed to stop them when they get the shot, don't they?
They have to be conditioned or trained. They've only had it up for about 2 weeks. They're turned down a little lower. We got the blue flags up, and it's the old Pavlov condition. Pavlov, isn't that how you say that? The carrot and the stick conditioning.
No, what I think you should do is you turn it up. Stop setting your phaser on stun, and set it to vaporize, and that way. Hey, honey, we need a new dog.
We need a new dog.
Is there a vaporized setting on the invisible fence?
God bless you. I have one interesting piece of news that I want to announce.
All right, please do.
On the 16th of August, me and my blessed wife of 33 years are going to attend a mass and consolidate our marriage.
Wow! I hope to be joining you around the same time.
Oh, yeah?
I got a little piece of paperwork that is kind of the hang-up on mine. Maybe it comes through today. Who knows? I pray.
Man, I had the piece of paperwork 2 years ago. I went to a sermon. I did Mass 3 days ago. The Mass Saturday, the preacher gives a sermon about shepherds. He says, some of us just aren't good. Some people are just clumsy at it. And I said, I've been a really terrible shepherd. It's been taking me 2.5 years to get her to agree to this. She was, her first husband passed away about two and a half years ago. And I was even blessed to be there with him at the time of his passing, praying the rosary for him. So it was one of those things that she was raised Catholic, but like a lot of people, doesn't understand the doctrine as well as some of us. So.
Well, that's what you got the prayer life for, and yeah. She must have understood it well enough. August the 16th. Now, is this going to be in? Now you're not in Detroit. You're outside of Detroit.
Well, it's going to be in a little tiny church at 9 o'clock at the same church. Can't be picking on the pole anymore. At a little Polish church by a Polish priest.
The pole.
The same church I was sworn in, St. Angelus in Door, Michigan.
So, a Polish church, we will have the McClure nuptials on the 16th. Well, I will all be praying for you. And are you gonna send an invite?
I could. I never really thought about it. If I did, would you be able to make it?
I probably wouldn't be able to, but I could send you a card.
Okay.
And I can have a mass set for you for your wedding, so.
Okay. I'll do that then. I wasn't going to send out like official invites. They do. It happened. Here's some thing. Now we can talk a little bit about some cantaloupe, but we have got my two sisters and my brother-in-law are coming up here.
Uh-huh.
My brother-in-law is also Catholic, a fallen away Catholic. My sister was married before divorce, but not in a Catholic marriage. It wouldn't be that hard for him to get her married, would it?
That's above my pay grade. That's a priest question there. You are not going to pry any doctrine out of me, pal.
But they're all attending Mass, and it's one thing, you know, it's like, what do you think about Billy? This is what gets me about a lot of fallen away Catholics. They'll still go to Mass every once in a while. They're coming with us and everything. They'll go to Mass, but they know they're not in the state of grace. And so they won't take communion and things like that.
Well, I was going to say, as long as the priest gets up there and gives the conditions under which Holy Communion can be given, you'll be fine. You see, they can attend.
They know, so I don't have to explain to them and the rest of them. It's just a regular Mass. They have Mass there every day. And so there'll be about 10 people there. It's a small little church in a rural area. It's the one the Holy Spirit led me to after I walked into a confessional and said, go here. This is Latin Mass Saturday morning. Go here.
I know the story well.
Yeah.
I know the story. I got to tell you, if you're ever down in Madison, Wisconsin, do yourself a favor and go visit Father Heilemann at St. Mary's in Pine Bluff. It is in a, as a matter of fact, the pastoral surrounding with the grain silo half a mile away in the distance and the rolling fields of corn, and I think there were snap beans or whatever they were on the other side, and then just the topography and the fact that we were nowhere near a big city. It was just idyllic, I-D-Y-L-L-I-C, idyllic. It was just so serene and beautiful. So
Remind me that in an email.
I will.
It's near. I'll stop by there.
Yeah, don't sell small churches in the middle of nowhere, St. Stanislaus's or whatever. Don't sell them short. I'm telling you, that place was over. It was standing room only for a 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning mass, which was encouraging.
Wow. This one doesn't have a real overwhelming liturgy, but they have I've been taking Judy out there a lot of times on Saturdays for the Novus Ordo Mass, and they have quite a few people there. I've never been to their Sunday Mass, but it's just a beautiful church where a lot of these churches, you know, they took all the prayer rails, they took all the altars, a lot of the nice old, it almost looks like a small version of the European churches inside there.
Well, August the 16th, then, folks, Mitter and Mrs. McClure are going to be Mitter and Mrs. Catholic Sacramentally Married McClure. That's the big news. Congratulations, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless and have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you very much, Todd, for all that you do for us. Appreciate you, brother. All right. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number if you'd like to call the program and to be on the show today. We did a lot in the first segment. Now, somebody asked in the chat room at MikeChurch.com that you could join free of charge, don't cost nothing. Somebody went in there. Where was he at 6 a.m.? Why wasn't he live? I have to embellish for my own entertainment, Ms. O'Connell. And I was recounting that, I was kind of busy all weekend long. I really am tired. I'm not complaining. I'm just traveling all the way to Madison, Wisconsin from New Orleans is not a hop and a skip or a jump. it's quite a trek. And spending an extra 4 hours in an airport yesterday did not aid or assist that. So, but a lot was accomplished. A lot was accomplished. And you'll see some of the fruits of this. They won't, and I won't have to explain them. And you'll hear of some of the fruits of this, I will explain it, and much more will be known. But let me just say to you that it's exciting times in which we live. And again, when we talk about how rotten things are, like in the first segment, we talked about this Cardinal McCarrick pederast controversy, and just how prolific, deeply ingrained the infestation, the infection is so large inside religious orders as to defy a description. It's that big, and it's that prevalent. And we as lay people must consider these things and can't do what they've been doing, which is to run away from it. But I want to talk about some other things that we have in the pile or prep today. By the by, I'll send this out and I'll ask in the form of a question. To one of my favorite writers, Mrs. Gracie Olmsted, at American Conservative Magazine, National Review, The Federalist, another blog. Mrs. Olmsted, I'm in the form of a question, I ask, why do you still have a Netflix subscription, my Catholic sister? This entity is the enemy of life. It demonstrates it time and time and time again. It's now doubling down on it, and it is not worthy of your subscription. It isn't. Maybe it was at one point in time from where I sit and from where many others sit. It is no longer worthy. As a matter of fact, you know what? Other than Father John, what was his name again, Maggie? Father John Rodolfo. The letter that I read to you on Friday show about this. It's been a couple of days. Maybe I should just read it again. Let's see here. I read it on Thursday's show, not Friday's. Here it is. This is written by a priest who, after watching Michelle Wolf's abortion fest on the 4th of July show, could no longer remain a Netflix subscriber. And he is encouraging others. Now, you have free will. You can make your own distinction. Well, you know what, Mitter Church? I don't try to live an ascetic life like you weirdos that go to the Latin Mass. I'm perfectly comfy with having all of the accoutrements of your average Bubis Americanus. Boy, folks, I've spent way too much time in airports in the last month. Because I'm becoming jaded now when it comes to Bubis Americanus. There are so many, and you walk through an airport and you're just clutching the rosary going like, please just get me. Can you strike me blind? I don't want to be permanently blind. I just want to be blind until I get out of this Hades forsaken airport. Father John Rapisarda, to whom it may concern at Netflix. I'm writing to inform you that after years of satisfied use, I have chosen to cancel my Netflix account. The reason is the recent episode of the Netflix original, The Break with Michelle Wolf, entitled Salute to Abortion. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further, and I'm going to issue this out as a call. Mark this as a promo. As a matter of fact, mark this as a video promo. Video this. Mark it, dude. If you are, I would even go even further, but certainly if you are a practicing Catholic, if you are a practicing Baptist, I think the same thing applies. You cannot, in good conscience, funnel any of your wealth to Netflix as an entity. It is diabolical. It should have been the last straw. You should have gone, in my opinion, you know what? I should play the air raid warning siren here. Mitter Church, here it comes! No!
Warning! Warning! Catholic doctrine approaching! Proceed immediately to a truth-resistant shelter! This is not a drill!
Drill. I don't see how anyone calls himself Christian, certainly not a Roman Catholic, can continue to be a subscriber of Netflix. If it weren't enough when the show Big Mouth came out and it's still on, and the promotion of kiddie porn, of what amounts to childhood, full-blown, below-the-waist nudity of 10-year-old girls. I'm talking anatomical. Mitter Church, you're making it. I'm not making it up. I'm not gonna flash it up on the screen. You could go look. Well, you know, I think we have a very tastefully edited graphic for this. You can't give your money to this entity any longer. Well, that's just a one. No, it's not just a one-off. These people are off the rails. They're spending $8 billion a year. Most of the $8 billion is going for the abomination that is the cult of death. Then you have this show that's coming on that is about a boy, Jesus, a 12-year-old boy that allegedly is reincarnated as our Lord, that runs around and turns water into wine for people that are having parties and what have you here. If you don't know what the... now, this is another problem in the pathetic state of catechism today. If you don't know why that's heretical and why you can't watch it and why you must denounce it, send me an email and I'll get Brother Andre Marie or David Simpson or Steve Cunningham to explain it to you. They know it far better than me, but we're not Eastern mystics. We don't believe that we come back reincarnated as anything, like a cow, like the Hindus do. So there is no reincarnation for God himself, because he never died. Mr. Church, he did die. Again, you don't need me to explain the doctrine. You want to know. Compound that with this maniacal woman, Michelle Wolf, who did the television show near the 4th of July, Michelle Wolf television show that Netflix funds directly. They pay her to do this. God bless abortion. You want an abortion? Get an abortion! Yay! Everybody have an abortion! Yay! If you're not pregnant and you want to have an abortion, well, then have sex so you can get pregnant and get an abortion! Yay! I am not making it. I'm not exaggerating. That's what she said. You can not be. Mentor Church, please. The money is fungible. So maybe if you give some to the Black Mass First Church of Baphomet, maybe they use it to throw a pancake supper on Thursday night for the poor. Money's fungible, right? You cannot be affiliated. Now, I'm not talking that this is a doctrine or a dogma, although I'm pretty sure that it is somewhere. Ethically speaking, morally speaking, what are you doing in affiliation? Well, all my friends have to, I don't want to miss my favorite show. Maybe there's another show you could be watching. Maybe there's something you could be reading. Ooh. Oh, it's not, maybe there's something you could be praying. Oh, no, not that. No. I'll conclude with Father's letter because he nails it. Father John... John Ripisarda. I'm writing to inform you that after years of satisfied use, I've chosen to cancel my Netflix account. The reason is a recent episode of the Netflix original The Break with Michelle Wolf, entitled Salute to Abortion. There are many things wrong with this episode. However, it is clear, as the show is created and sponsored by Netflix, that listing them would do little to change hearts. Suffice it to say that abortion destroys the human life in the womb and the heart of the mother. Many who are either pro-choice or pro-abortion will say that it is preferable to have fewer abortions. Disregarding both groups, both pro-life and pro-rare abortion, and declaring God bless abortions is not humorous or even edgy. It is hateful and blasphemous. You go, Father. Michelle Wolf and her Netflix writers will likely dismiss me and millions of others as unenlightened, all the while claiming to be tolerant of others' opinions, moral or otherwise. Because of this, I will pray that you have a change of heart, understand the damage done by abortion, and repent of your actions. There's three beautiful things contained in that sentence. I hope you reconsider your content. Until then, I will be encouraging others to cancel their memberships as well. Sincerely, Father John Ripisarda. Father John, I'm going to thank him again. I thanked him on Thursday, last Wisdom Wednesday. This is the chivalry and the male leadership that we've all been talking about and that we all yearn for from our priests and our bishops. That's what they should be doing. Lead your flock. Now, he didn't give a dogmatic or doctrinal reason of why he was canceling his membership, but it is contained in the paragraph. Because of this, I will pray that you have a change of heart. So having a change of heart, that's not an implication, that's an accusation. Then you're not doing this out of love for your fellow man. You're disobeying a commandment. Now you're in grave mortal sin. That's one. I hope you'll have a change of heart. Understand the damage done by abortion. Now you are, what is it, Maggie O'Connell? 9 ways to be a party to sin, right? Now you are directly in one of those 9 ways. Now you are a party to someone else's mortal sin. That's 2. And that understand the damage done by abortion and repent of your action. If you're not Catholic, convert. If you are, then you need to go to confession. And then you need to do what you can to make reparations for the sins that you have caused and the damage, and you need to take it back. And until you do so, I'm not going to be your subscriber anymore. Now, I say that for the benefit of those who may be, well, I don't think that applies to me. It applies to other. This is the problem. Let me state it to you in clear terms. And I'm going to try to keep this quick and brief so we can make it a quick 5-6 minute video. Netflix boasts that they have over 100 million subscribers. I'm not sure how many are in the United States, but let's just say that it's 2/3 of them. Let's say there are 65 million people in change that have Netflix subscriptions. To my knowledge, last I saw the statistics, there are somewhere on the order of adults now, 30 to 35 million Catholics. Let's just a round number and say that about half of them are Netflix subscribers. That puts that number at 18 to 22 million. And it just is just like in a presidential election. If a president that's campaigning for the presidency says he's going to do what President Trump has done, and then every Catholic supported him, this is a landslide. This is a 49-state landslide. It's not even, he didn't even win New York. Not even close. But we're cowards, and we don't have priests that will lead us. Now, in the exact same manner, if the 18 million Roman Catholics that pay to that putrid service, Netflix, took their money and put it elsewhere, do you think the stockholders and the people that are funding this garbage might tell the board of directors at Netflix, hey, Llama, hey, you just killed our stock, you just killed my retirement, and this would stop? That's the power of numbers. Will it happen? Well, you're going to need a couple hundred more Father John Reposardas. Let's pray, as Father W. says, that more priests are blessed with spinal implants and do what they should be doing. Tell Netflix to go pound sand, and tell Catholics to tell Netflix to go pound sand. 844-527-8723 is our telephone number. Sorry, I'm reading this story here. Yeah, my friend, our friends at LifeSite News, Lisa Bourne has this. Is this recent, Ms. O'Connell? From July 17th, that's last Tuesday. Oh, that reminds me. I got to delay the release of the on-demand Permission to Die, the story of the Carmelite Martyrs of Compiègne. I gotta delay it one day because the production team can't get it finished until Wednesday, but they will have it for us Wednesday. And you will be able to download a much improved, longer version of the piece that aired, the feature that aired last Tuesday night that so many of you fell instantly in love with, and so many of you said, I gotta hear it again. Where can I get it? I need to play it for others. I played it at our confab this weekend. And the men and women that heard it were like, wow, you made that? Yes, we made that. Is it available for pre-order? Can they pre-order? No? We'll make it available for pre-order today, the feature, so you could be the first one. As soon as it's released, then an email would go out telling you that you can go download your product. MikeChurch.com/shop. By the by, I didn't know this, but people don't tell me these things. MikeChurch.com/email now works. Goes directly to the sign-up form to follow me via the Daily Republican email newsletter. I know it works because I fixed it. MikeChurch.com/silver now works. And we'll take you directly to silver statues. You're going to collect silver anyways, silver and gold coins. Why not collect the silver statues, the beautiful Pieta, or the St. George slaying the dragon, or the price he paid the most realistic crucifixion you'll ever see. And then the Crusade Channel gets a little donation on the side from Silver Statue. So go to my website, mikechurch.com/silver, to see those beautiful statues in .925, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful silver. Okay, so back to the story. Netflix used a show about Anne of Green Gables to promote homosexuality. Now, again, why are you still subscribing to this? Why? Here we are in bended knee every day trying to promote the good, the true, and the beautiful. We have to beg and plead people to become members, and yet they will throw money at the enemies of life and at the promoters of the cult of death. It makes no sense. But then again, living in the modern world makes no sense too. On the heels of a controversy and recent charges of airing child pornography, by the way, this show seems to be the only show that has continued to rail against Big Mouth. Kids are watching this show, teenagers. There is child porn on this. I'm not making it up. Oh, they have friends. Oh, yes, yes. In June, the internet media services provider took heed for a scene in the film Desire, in which two young girls playing horse leads to the other child performing a sex act on herself in front of the other. Still available. To my knowledge, that film is still, you can go put it in your Netflix queue today. Now Netflix says it has a new twist in its treatment of the classic 1908 children's novel, Anne of Green Gables. Well, what do you expect them to do? Get the story right? Are you kidding? Why? Why would they do such a thing? Their audience obviously craves, why don't we just go ahead and make these shows filled with sodomy and apostasy and not worry about what all those weirdo, wacko Catholic moralists crave. Well, the Crusade Channel's got what those people crave.
Yes, it's got electrolytes.
Now Netflix says it has a new twist in its treatment of the classic 1908 children's novel, Anne of Green Gables, one that promotes homosexuality. Read this at lifesitenews.com. The series is called Anne with an E. And LifeSite News heard from a parent who wanted to warn others about it. Because the series is packaged with good production, the parent feared it may at first deceive viewers who tune into it, thinking it will pay homage to the beloved fictional story of an 11-year-old orphan, Anne Shirley, in the late 19th century, rural Prince Edward Island, as captured in the book by Canadian author L.M. Montgomery. The parent had been watching the series with their child, thinking it was a family-friendly. While there had been some indication in earlier episodes of a possible agenda, the parent told LifeSite News that the cover was pulled fully off in Season 2, Episode 7. We endured one of the most insidious, deceitful, emotionally charged propaganda pieces promoting the homosexual lifestyle, the parent said. The episode aimed at creating sympathy for homosexuality by inserting it into the plot line, the narrative of same-sex attracted individuals as societal outcasts, and by putting the pro-homosexual love is love mantra in its dialogue. Again, I always like to interject here, if you're a new listener, just to make a, what exactly is wrong with love is love? If your daughter is loving the junior varsity football team on bus rides to and from the games and is known as the team slut, isn't that love? Love it. She says she loves it. Do you promote that? Are you going to promote it? People are running around calling her a little harlot. Are you cool with that? Men are charged, plea. That's a very vulgar example. Unfortunately, it's a true example. Although these days it would probably be the girl running around not with the boys' junior varsity football team, but with the girls' varsity track team. In this episode, Anne, her best friend, and a young male artist who is bullied attend a party at an elderly relative's home full of artistic types. The concerned parent recounted, it's portrayed as a magical experience. Remember? Teen Vogue magazine? Teen Vogue, instructing teenagers on how to have safe anal sex. Remember? These people, look, the demons are ascended. They've come for the children. They're not going to take no for an answer. Now entities like Netflix aren't going to tell them no. And you people that are subscribing to this filth, this garbage, you're not telling them no. What kind of an example are you setting? And that's a we, by the way. By the by, full disclosure, I canceled my Netflix when they, Big Mouth, aired with the kiddie porn as it was produced. Haven't looked back. Don't miss it. Have you seen the new series on Netflix? No. And I'm not going to. Anne realizes that the elderly female and her deceased female companion had been married. This is in the end of the 19th century now. And the bully and the bullied artistic boy realizes that he is gay, like the elderly woman and her same-sex partner. Anne's other friend, who had been raised conservatively, is confused and concerned, having learned about her aunt's lifestyle. But Anne and the artistic boy both reassure her and smile understandingly at one another, sharing this newly identified vision of the different. The episode wraps up with Anne reaffirming this newly acquired view to the woman who has adopted her into her home. Yay, lesbian married couples. Yay. The promo text for season 2, episode 7 states, quote, Cole accompanies the girls to Aunt Josephine's for a lavish party filled with surprises. Close quote. You know, I'm wondering why you pro-sodomites out there aren't pissed off at Netflix for not promoting the fact that there's lesbians in this episode. I wonder, are you in denial of the wonder and goodness? As a matter of fact, I wager you that there are wacko parents out there, or quote, parents, child abusers, that if you said there was a sodomite and a pair of lesbians married in the episode would have ran to it, and they probably didn't watch it before because they went, oh, that's one of those old fuddy-duddy conservative series. I don't want to watch that. Blah, 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 blah. And then she writes about the Netflix cartoon Big Mouth has been criticized for normalizing pedophilia. Now listen to this. Again, this is at lifesitenews.com. The piece is written by Lisa Bourne. Netflix uses show about Anne of Green Gables to promote homosexuality. The Netflix cartoon Big Mouth has been criticized for normalizing pedophilia. Purportedly about adolescents awkwardly navigating puberty, show has included graphic masturbation, nocturnal emissions, puberty fairies, a giant condom creature, and shown the genitals of pre-adolescent children. I'm telling you, I can never unsee it. 8-year-old, dude. 10-year-old, actually, she's 12. 12-year-old girl. You don't want to see it. You certainly don't want your children watching this crap. There's more. Ms. O'Connell, what was the show that you were watching a series on and you went, as soon as they introduced the character as a lesbian? Isn't Jennifer Jones coming out now as a lesbian? The Marvel series? Pretty sure. There was another one. I was watching one on Hulu. I don't think it's made by Hulu. Where the 16-year-olds are going to the prom, and the one who is a lesbian, who is who is trying to pretend like she's not, she goes there with a guy, winds up hooking up with a winds up dallying with another girl at the prom in a closet. While the boy that she just jilted, 16, winds up going into the teacher's lounge upstairs and having his way with the girl who had a crush on him. This is all at the high school prom, and they are supposed to be superheroes. It's everywhere, this diabolical infestation. It's everywhere. Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, a teen soap opera that initially centered on teen suicide, criticized for actually encouraging suicide. As reports continue to emerge about problematic programming on Netflix, the parent who contacted LifeSite News about Anne with an E expressed disappointment and sadness for what the network is doing to Anne of Green Gables author L.M. Montgomery's legacy. Quote, I feel sad for the hundreds of parents who are recommending the series to their children based on the content of the original work. I feel most upset about the sweet, artistic, and crafty way this bit of disguised poison is enticing souls into delusion. Emotively targeting women and children is using their positive emotions against them. And then there is a letter, there's an address that you can write to Reed Hastings, the chairman and president and CEO of Netflix. These people do not understand letters. They don't care. Email, 10,000 of you could email them today. It doesn't matter. Subscription cancellations? Yes, that matters. All that matters to these people, one, is cooperation with Baphomet, Beelzebub, and the boys, and two, money. Because that's the American way. So there you have it. It's time for us to go. Wow. You didn't even have to put a whole day in today. Miss O'Connell's in there. Well, it's about time. We got off to a bit of a late start because of my travel schedule. I'm sure, is Barrett live? Barrett is live today. I'm sure Richard Barrett of the Barrett Brief will have complete coverage of this and many more in his By the Numbers and his Virtue of the Week, which you'll hear in about a little more than an hour. And then, and of course, in the world famous, and it is famous, no? You got to be kidding me. Stay tuned for it. It's a live show here on the Crusade Channel. You can't hear it anywhere else. The Barrett Brief is live at 11 Central, noon Eastern, right here on the Crusade Channel. Also available on demand on the Crusade Channel on demand content app. If you would like to make a donation to offset the significant production costs, which we put up for the Permission to Die, the story of the 16 Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne, do so at crusadechannel.com or at mikechurch.com/shop in the Founders Trading Post. There is a donation page there as well. I hope you will sign up and become a Founders Pass member today. Do so. Use coupon code JULY and take 50% off your first payment of a basic yearly, monthly, or quarterly membership. Thanks for listening today. Minute Youngblood is here with the news. It's Crusade Channel King Size Truth for Radio Size Speakers. May God bless you and Mary keep you.